In addition to everything else going on in the world right now, attention is also being brought to nearly 4,000 anti-Asian racist incidents, mostly against women, that have occurred in the past year. This is Lisa Berry, and we're seeing the hashtag #StopAsianHate more and more frequently, and many are speaking up about what can be done to make our community safe and inclusive. Melissa May Borja is a University of Michigan Assistant Professor of American Culture in the Asian Pacific Islander Studies Program and is currently writing a book about refugee resettlement policy and joins us now on WEMU. Thanks for talking to us.
So happy to be here.
Tell us about yourself and also how you want to be identified, because I'm hearing from some people they're not comfortable with the term Asian American.
Yes, so I am Filipino American. I would also use the term Asian American to describe myself, and I'm a native Michigander, born and raised in Saginaw, and now grateful to be teaching at the University of Michigan, where I study a variety of things, among them Asian American history, refugee policy, religion. And in the past year, I have been researching anti-Asian racism during the COVID-19 pandemic.
So we're hearing about that more. There's been some brutal incidents recently. But honestly, this is something I'm assuming you've been dealing with your whole life.
Yeah, I always say that my career studying Asian American experiences and anti-Asian racism in particular began when I was born, almost. I was born in 1982 to an immigrant family, and the same season I was born, Vincent Chin was killed in the Detroit area. So I grew up in an era when there was a lot of anti-Asian sentiment. And at that time, my family was sometimes concerned about our safety. But I think out of that experience, my parents and I learned about the importance of standing up for justice and responding to that racism with resistance and responding to that fear with calls for change and organizing.
Do you think we're hearing about this more and seeing it more on the increase incidents can be contributed possibly to former President Trump referring to the coronavirus as a, quote, China virus?
There is a reason why the WHO and the CDC have urged people to be responsible about how they describe the coronavirus. So these organizations have recommended against using terms like China virus because it can cause racist backlash and stigmatization of those communities. And that's indeed what we've seen. So after some people, this includes politicians, but also members of the media and everyday people, after some people began using terms like China virus, researchers have found that anti-Asian bias increased significantly and actually reversed a decade-long downward trend. So I think there has been a connection between associations of Asian people with the coronavirus and acts of racism and violence directed towards Asian and Asian American people.
Is that something you're hearing directly in your everyday life?
I'm hearing it in my life. Yes, I've heard people, friends of mine, family members of mine, be subjected to being spit upon, yelled at while they're going about their daily business. I mean, I've seen it in my own research. My research team looked at 4,600 news articles for 2020 that documented instances of anti-Asian racism. We found 1,100 incidences of anti-Asian racism, and a lot of them had direct ties of Asian American people being blamed for the coronavirus.
Do you feel safe going out in the community personally?
Well, there are a lot of reasons. I think one would want to stay home during this time. We're always concerned about the pandemic and the spread of the disease, but I do think that the surge of anti-Asian racism we've seen in the past year has made Asian Americans particularly concerned about their safety. So I will say, personally, I have limited how much I have gone out in public, both because of the pandemic, but also because of all of the stories I have heard from people I know about being harassed when they're going about their daily lives. And our research shows that a lot of the instances of anti-Asian racism takes place in public places. We're talking about businesses or on the street. And so I think it's really important to remember that going about your daily life can mean that you might be targeted in one of these instances. And that is contributing to a lot of fear and concern among Asian Americans across the country.
We're talking to Dr. Melissa May Borja, a University of Michigan professor, about the attention being placed on Asian hate, the increase in the number of these incidents, and what it's like to be in the community and feel okay. Are your parents still around? You said you were raised in mid-Michigan, and are they still around, and are you concerned about their safety at all?
No, like any daughter who has elderly parents, of course I'm concerned about their safety on a variety of levels. Of course, the pandemic has made me concerned about their safety. But yes, there have been so many visible attacks on Asian American elderly people that I have encouraged them to be extra cautious and to walk with a buddy and to be aware of their surroundings. I did encourage my mother, even though she's really eager to get back to church, encouraged her maybe stick with Zoom church for now, just to stay safe, both from the virus, but also from the possibility of racist attack. And I am not the only one who's having this conversation with their loved ones.
So you're an academic and you're a researcher along these lines. Would you add activist to that list as well?
I would. And I inherited this from my father. My father once served on the State Advisory Commission for Asian Americans in Michigan, and I was excited to be able to share my research before the State Advisory Commission just last week. So I am involved in activism at the local level, encouraging government officials to take proactive measures, not just to respond to acts of anti-Asian racism, but to be proactive in offering support, resources, and education to prevent these acts of racism. And my hope is that we're not just going to focus on hate crimes, but really work on building safe and inclusive communities for everybody. That would mean safe and inclusive for Asian Americans, but for all communities who might be vulnerable.
What do you want to say to bring some empathy or sympathy or understanding to what it's like to be an Asian American right now? Let's just stick to the United States. And what education do we need, and how can we change that and turn it around?
I think for a lot of Americans, the idea that Asian Americans might experience racism could be new. Mm-hmm. The reality is that Asian American experiences are not often included in school curriculum, and that conversations about Asian Americans are not included in conversations about race and racism. Historically, that conversation has really fallen on a black-white binary. And this is why Asian Americans have often felt invisible, an invisible minority in the United States. And so I think one of the most important things we can do is to really listen to Asian American stories in the present, but also understand that what's happening in the current moment is part of a deeper history of racism and violence directed against Asian Americans that goes back centuries. So my hope is that moving forward, we can think about our curriculum. Do our schools teach about Asian exclusion and the massacre of Chinese immigrants in the 19th century and Japanese incarceration and the killing of Vincent Chin in Michigan in the 1980s? Are we also taking measures to make sure that kids have access to anti-bullying measures in schools? One thing that's been really shocking to me is knowing that 1 in 4 Asian American kids in the United States have been subjected to racist bullying during the pandemic. And in 50% of those cases, an adult was able to intervene and did not. And so I'm thinking about the importance of these proactive measures to improve understanding of Asian Americans in the past and in the present.
And you yourself have a daughter. Do you feel like you're setting an example for her, how you're handling all this?
You know, yeah, I do. I think that is maybe a great blessing of this moment. She has been learning at home during the pandemic, and that has certainly come with challenges. But I think one amazing thing about this past year is she has been able to see my work as an activist, as an academic. So she was able to see how I've been doing research on anti-Asian racism, sharing it with the media, sharing it with government officials at the state, local, and national levels. She's been able to see how in the fall I was involved in outreach to Asian American voters, doing in-language outreach to Asian American voters across the country, but especially in the Midwest. And I like to think that she gets an important lesson in civics that she'll be able to carry forward in her own life.
And as we move more into the community as more people are vaccinated and COVID cases go down. How should we approach Asian Americans? I mean, is it just basic human kindness, or are we missing something here?
Well, I think part of it is the interpersonal relationship that we, you know, can focus on. Kindness is important, but I think it's important for us to keep our eyes open to the broader structures of racism in America and the ways in which all sorts of factors, including geopolitics, might continue this wave of anti-Asian racism. To be perfectly honest, I began this project focusing on COVID-related anti-Asian racism because I saw so many people around me get blamed for the pandemic. But I think there's a real possibility that this anti-Asian sentiment is going to have a long tail. And we need to remember that there's also the context of tensions between the U.S. and China. So one question I have moving forward is, will we see this anti-Asian sentiment continue in the context not just of the pandemic, but in the context of U.S.-China tensions? So we'll have to see. But I think the tools and the conversations that are developing out of this particularly painful moment can set the stage for there to be really good policy actions at the local, state, and national levels that will help Asian Americans in the long run have a greater voice in government, shaping policies that will help Asian Americans be safe.
Dr. Melissa May Borja, thank you so much for sharing your perspective with us here on WEMU.
Thank you for having me.